Welcome to episode blah, 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 blah of I Have No Idea What the Fuck. And I'm just feeling inspired to record this shit right now because when I was a child, I read this book that I will never forget. It's the most powerful book I've ever read in my life. It's based on Sesame Street. And the main, if you know what Sesame Street is, the main character of the book is Grover. And Grover is a blue Muppet from on Sesame Street that's kind of like neurotic and scary, and you know, he's funny style, because he's not really trying to be deceptive, but he's kind of jumpy from what I remember about him. And the name of the book was called The Monster at the End of This Book. If you've ever read that book, just, you know, make a noise to yourself, because I'm never going to hear it. But this book is so powerful because it's so deep, because it's about life, and the message of that story has stayed with me to this day. That's how powerful it is as an adult. And basically what it is that Grover is, it's basically an interactive book, you know, before smartphones were invented. It's an interactive book where when you turn the page, you know, the events that occur once you turn the page affect the main character. So, you know, the premise of the book is, the plot or the story of the book is, you know, Grover finds out that once that he's in a book, and when he gets to the end of the book, he's going to meet a very scary monster. So obviously Grover is very scared throughout the whole book, but it's only at the end of the book. So he's throughout the whole book, he's telling you not to flip the page, not to get close to the end of the book, all this and that and the other. And so, but you know, you're a kid and you want to read the book, and the pictures are funny and they're fun. And, you know, your mom's reading them to you in a funny voice, and it's like, yeah, keep going, keep going. And, it's so, so interesting. It's like the character even builds a brick wall to weigh down the page or to stop the page from being turned, but obviously you can still turn the page. I thought that was really cute. And and you turn the page and all the bricks are destroyed. Oh man, it's something else, man. Children's books, man. Probably one of the most creative children's books I've ever read. But anyway, spoilers ahead, but we get to the end of the book, and we realize that the monster at the end of the book was actually Grover himself. And he has such a relief, and he ends up being in a pose where he's hugging himself. And this book was so fucking deep, bro. Like, you already can tell how deep it is just by what I just told you. And this could be applied to many different things. You know, it could be applied to shadow work, which is, you know, what Carl Jung calls the shadow, the unaccepted part of ourself that we're so afraid of, that we run away from, that we deny, we do everything to get away from it. But when we finally accept it and realize that it is us, it is a part of us, it is us, we end up in a position of hugging ourselves, which is self-love, which I thought was crazy. But that's not what I want to touch on right now. What I want to touch on is the idea of these times being what many consider to be the end times. Now that has a lot more gravity. This theme or this topic has a lot more gravity to it than, you know, shadow work, which has plenty of gravitas. But basically I was thinking about, you know, the book of Revelations, the Armageddon, the apocalypse. Apocalypse is just Greek for revelation. The uncovering. I don't know what Armageddon means, but basically the idea is that it's this time where everything goes to shit. The whole world, and basically the whole world blows up. But what we have to understand is that the Bible, while it is a dope project, it's a dope human project, it has been mercilessly canonized, manipulated, and manipulated for political power. So political and spiritual power, to usurp power from the people. The Bible is a collection of different books written by different people, supposedly. Now, the names of those people, we don't actually know. We're told that it's these people. We don't actually know. You know how many mystery schools were back in the day that where it was a group of people that got together and wrote shit, and you know, and then you say, well, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and it's like, well, we don't know. There's so much. We don't. It was like the thing is. Here's the thing about the Bible, you know, it's like, if you're a Christian, man, do you to the fullest, you know, do good in the world, serve the God that you serve. However, to think that the Bible is 100% accurate and 100% holy is not the most logical way to go about doing things. If it was written by a human being, even if it was divinely ordained by God, it's not the you can't expect the message to not be twisted in certain. You can't expect. I mean, it's a 66, which is an occult number. It's a 66 book project. So we as human beings can barely do the game telephone without the message getting distorted. You know, the game telephone where you have a group of maybe like several people, more than three, you know, definitely more than three, and you have a message that you want to send over to the last person. Let's say you have 11 people. By the time it gets to that 11th person, the message is going to be so distorted that you're going to be like, "What the hell? I didn't say that." But we expect a project of 66 books, which weren't even loosely associated. Someone decided to associate these 66 books into one project. And we expect all 66 books to be unchanged, to be uncanonized, and for the message to come through exactly how it was meant to come through. Thousands of years later, that's just not logical. We can't even send one message properly in a game called telephone even 30 minutes in later. So it's like to think that message is going to remain pure and it's in the same form as it was originally written or transcribed is not logical. It's just not logical. Though there's a lot in there that has remained, and there's a lot in there that has not. Just thinking about human corruption, it's like humans or the powers that be have always used spirituality to usurp political and spiritual power from the people, to get the minds of the people. They've always done it. As a matter of fact, in the early centuries after the existence of the one that is called Jesus Christ, whether that human existed or not, it was the church was considered was the church was the political power. So the priest or the pope could literally say anything. No one knew how to read back then. After all the libraries were destroyed and the books were burnt, and a lot of the stuff was taken. A lot of the dope ass spiritual knowledge that gives everybody superpowers was hidden, believe what you want, man. But after the burning of all the, dope ass books, we had the Dark Ages, and the Dark Ages were around, I think, 1000 AD, and the Dark Age, all of a sudden we have no knowledge. What? That's really naive. The knowledge was systematically destroyed. It's like our spiritual power was in places like the Library of Alexandria, which was like probably not even the best library that we've had on this planet. It's probably the most popular, the most famous ancient library, but it probably didn't even have the most powerful information in it. I know I'm kind of jumping the gun with a lot of things and I'm digressing greatly, but I'm just like kind of
feeling this energy right now, and I just want to share it with you. But, you know, basically, getting back on target, I was thinking about the book of Revelations, the Apocalypse, Armageddon, and I realized that for the powers that be, for thousands of years, humanity has been manipulated by those that are in power. And it's all to a spiritual end. It's all to give away your mind and thinking for yourself and perceiving and not seeing reality as it is so that you can be free. It's all about how other people, the powers that be, want you to perceive reality so that you're never present, that you never find your own power. And so when I look at something like the Armageddon, the Apocalypse, Revelations, the book of Revelations, I don't really understand all the code, but I know that there were a lot of mystery schools and, you know, secret societies of elite people, and they weren't all bad. They weren't all made up of like evil people, you know, because, you know, these conspiracy theorists. It's like, dude, are you sitting here and telling me that there weren't super smart people or people of great influence that would get together behind closed doors and say, let's make up this group and let's share this quality of information amongst ourselves? And that there weren't, that human beings are corrupt. Many human beings are corrupt. And so many of those people of influence had corrupted minds and wanted to usurp power for themselves. And so they all got together and said, hey, how can we take away more political power? How can we centralize more power? You're telling me that people don't get together like that? You're telling me, like, you don't even leave your door unlocked with the people that are your neighbors. So why is it that all of a sudden people that are on a completely different echelon of social influence are any different? You don't even trust your fucking neighbor, dude. Like, how is it you can trust people that are worth millions and billions of dollars, and you in the sense that you think that they would not come together, whether they're good people or bad people, and share and mastermind amongst each other? Like, how could you, like, that's not even a conspiracy theory. That's just what humans do. As a matter of fact, it's like, if you like humans like each other, they get together and do something. It's just that those that are that have power are more disciplined, a little more disciplined and organized than people that are quote unquote on the ground. You know, the regular masses, or you know, the majority of us. So when I look at something like the Book of Revelations, I look at that as specifically a campaign to influence the minds of people who couldn't read, they could not read. So whoever the priest was could say whatever the hell he wanted to do, as long as it flattered and bolstered the political power of the church. So basically, or you know, the political campaigns of the church. And so when I see a book like Revelation, and then for thousands of years people have been expecting the end times, expecting the world to explode, I just see that as a campaign. It's a huge fucking public relations campaign to get the world, to get human society to do what the powers that be wanted to do. Now, what the fuck does this have to do with the monster at the end of this book? Got you. I'm with it. I have been kind of jumping all over the place with my point. My point is, the reality is that whatever the Armageddon is, whatever we've been told it is, the destruction, it's the destruction of the false self. We have been, the revelations in the Bible is the same thing as the monster at the end of this book. We are saying there's a monster at the end of this book, which is, you know, I could talk about the ages, you know, the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius, and maybe I will. Fuck it, maybe I will. But essentially, it's like humanity, if you think of humanity as one organism that keeps, you know, regenerating
You know, it's like you don't think of humanity as a collection of human beings. You think of humanity as one organism that keeps regenerating, but forgetting more and more and more. Over the past several thousand years, we have been repeating, or humanity has been repeating to itself because of the parasite that is, you know, those few, those tiny few that want to control humanity, that our end is imminent. And they get us to perceive the ending as bad, but it's really the ending of what the powers that be really want. That's my interpretation. It's definitely the ending regardless, you know, it's like it's an ending of something. But I really do believe that it could go either way, but I believe ultimately it is the ending of fear, the ending of suffering, the ending of, it's the ending of disempowerment, in my opinion. And the book of Revelations was meant to scare us away from that ultimate ending of the false self and of all this ignorance and suffering that has been perpetuated for thousands of years, and going into our true mastery, our true godhood. Yeah, I'm getting really esoteric right now, but, you know, I just felt really inspired to share this with you. The monster at the end of the book for humanity is us, and all we have to do is accept that, embrace that. Don't believe that, you know, that the world is going to shit, because it's really not. You know, what we call the mainstream media and even social media is, you know, run by these powers that be that want to continue to get us to focus on the idea that the world is going to shit and that we can't do anything without their help. And the truth of the matter is, the more we become empowered, the more we realize we can run our own world, and meaning our own personal world, and humanity doesn't need a parasite in order to survive. It doesn't need a parasite of power-hungry fucks to, you know, tell us what to think in order for us to survive, in order for us to thrive, in order for us to exist. We can exist in a whole other way. We can exist without masters. So that's how I'm seeing the whole thing. And that's why The Monster at the End of this book is such a beautiful book. It is so powerful. It's a small nugget, and it's a small children's book, but it was so deep. And I just want to share that with you guys. And that was just a ramble. You guys know how it goes. I don't know if my podcasts are ever going to be like a typical podcast where I'm, you know, structured and so let's talk about this. It's like, I don't think my podcasts are ever going to be like that. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening to me ramble, and I just want us all to win, and I'm just tired of, you know, humanity living in ignorance. Like, this societal structure that we live in is not built for who we really are. It's interesting. It's an interesting game, but it doesn't suit, you know. It doesn't suit a typical human's development in a holistic way, I believe. And, you know, comment below if there's a comment section, or, you know, respond back to me. Let me know, like, what you think. If you don't agree, that's fine, dude. Just don't bring negativity to it, man. You will get blocked, bitch. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Appreciate you listening. I'm going to end it at 1919. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.